The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We sure do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. Even Kelly and I are brought to you by BetMGM, apparently.
That's right.
As they placed that after us, apparently, this morning. We are loaded, Kelly. Loaded on a Friday. Dr. Bob with his weekly play. I believe it'll be college football, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's the NFL. That's coming up. Paul Carr on the World Cup. He's got thoughts on this weekend. And revisiting sort of some of the pre-flop bets of Golden Boot. Maybe there's a way to get back into something like that, as well as the outright. Dallin Cuff will join us from ESPN, former college basketball player who is obsessed with soccer as well. We'll talk to Dallin. Chris Felica, perhaps I buried the headline. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Kelly. After 27 years at ESPN, he is moving on to Fox. And so we'll have Chris on later. He'll also talk about college football this weekend and, of course, his soccer thoughts. But I'll obviously ask him about that as well. How about that?
Yeah, wild and end of an era at ESPN. Everything that Chris Felica did there with College Game Day, in the gambling space for in the recent years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Felica, an ESPN legend. So definitely massive news to hear of him leaving there.
27 years. Who stays anywhere 27 years anymore? Does that happen?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think it does.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'll also, by the way, have a Right Angle Sports release on the show today. Oh, yeah, we're packed. Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown from Final Countdown with Stormy. He'll be on to give his NFL plays of the week. Kelly and I will give you ours as well. Soccer this morning. Let's get this out first before we talk about the game last night. Now, Kelly coming off a day yesterday where the tiebreakers were challenging for him.
I'm not going to try today.
Survivor elimination stats were challenging as well. We all had our moments yesterday.
I was figuring
out tiebreakers while Eric Eager was answering my questions. So we have a group.
Oh, I forgot about that,
yes.
Too. At least you had one, too.
I had one, too. I definitely had one. This is Group H. So today's the last day of the group stage, Group H and Group G. Tomorrow, the quarterfinals, of course, start. The United States and the Netherlands are playing each other, and Dallin and Paul and Chris will all have thoughts on that. But right now, this is very easy, Kelly. This is very easy to figure out because we have Korea and Portugal playing, Uruguay and Ghana. Portugal's already through in Group H, but anyone else of the three can be the other one to get through in this group. So if Portugal wins, the winner, if there's an outright in the Ghana-Uruguay game, would advance. And then there's all kinds of...
But Portugal has won the group?
I don't know if they've won it on tiebreaker yet or not, but they're certainly through.
Okay, so my Uruguay ticket might have hope?
To get through, not to win the stage.
Not to win.
No, can't win the stage.
Let me just mark an L next to that one real quick.
Yeah, we all had L's there too. All right, so we'll follow those. Nil-nil, early going both of those. As far as our football and football last night, the Buffalo Bills, very handily, very convincingly. Well, one point would have convinced me, but they very easily beat the New England Patriots last night. 24-10, they cover the 3.5-point spread. Game well under the total of 43.5. And Kelly, I don't know really the biggest thing to say about this. The headline is people were betting New England like they knew the final score.
Yeah.
And
thank God they did, though. Because I didn't consider it at 5.5, Gil. And
when
it got down to 3.5, I said, I don't get this. Let me bet the Bills.
I played a little 2.5 first half, and I played 3. I brought it down to 3 for the full game. It gets there 24-10. New England did have a 7-3 lead at one point, but after that, it was all Buffalo. And Buffalo, the real sort of signature of this game last night was Buffalo's 3 touchdown drives, 9 plays, 82 yards, 4 minutes and 46 seconds, 14 plays, 56 yards, 7 minutes and 46 seconds, and then a 15-play, 94-yard drive that took 8:55. And it almost, which by the way, they started with 8:26 left in the third quarter and bled into the fourth. It really had the feel of Buffalo saying to themselves, if you gave them truth serum, We can do whatever we want.
Yes.
Let's get out of here as quickly as we can. They can't score on us. Let's milk this and get out of town.
Yeah, I was doing, admittedly, I was doing a lot of NBA handicapping and podcasting with Jonathan Von Tobel, Hardwood Handicappers, download now. But I was doing a lot of that. But every time I looked up, Gil, it just felt like exactly what you said. Buffalo was moving the ball at will. On defense, it felt like they knew exactly what was coming from New England. And felt like they could really name their score if they wanted to.
They wanted to.
But yeah. They just kind of took their time picking them apart. And I know I've caught in heat on this show before for my Patriots. I don't know.
You said caught in heat. I like it.
Caught in heat. Yeah. For my take on the Patriots. But this team is garbage. They got a decent defense. That offense is garbage. And this team is not making the playoffs. No way, no how.
We have a goal already. Portugal scores. So, Portugal up on Korea 1-0, what does that mean? That means now that if Portugal, obviously we're way early, but if Portugal were to win this game against Korea, Portugal wins the group with 9 points, they will have won all three. But the real point is, whoever wins the Uruguay-Ghana game would be the other team to advance. And the other scenario there is, if that were to end in a draw, more sort of significantly, or not more significantly, but more to the point, then Ghana would be the team to advance because Ghana would have the second most amount of points. So Ghana's going to play defense against Uruguay here, and Uruguay needs a goal, which was the story at the beginning. But now that Portugal has knocked out Korea, it makes that clear if that holds. Back to the Patriots and the Dolphins. And let's hold that thought about what you said. This team is not making the playoffs, you said. First of all, Allen last night, Josh Allen, 22 of 33 for 223, two touchdowns, no picks, sacked twice, fumble lost, 9 of 15 on third down, and really the time of possession is the only stat you need to know, 38-08 to 21-52 in favor of the Bills. And Allen, by the way, becomes the first player in NFL history with three seasons of 25 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing scores. Buffalo's D holding the Patriots, as I said, to 3 points over the final three quarters. They got that touchdown early, and that was that. Buffalo did punt, by the way, which was news because they'd gone 23 straight drives over more than two games against the Pats without having done so, but they did have to punt in the second quarter with 3:04 left. So what you were just saying, Kelly, about the Patriots, let's go back to Thanksgiving. The Patriots, remember out of Thanksgiving, I think that Friday morning, that next morning, I said, well, what did we learn the most about any team was maybe the Patriots because their offense looked a lot better than I thought. But maybe what I should have said was, what we learned most about was that the Vikings defense might absolutely suck.
Yeah.
So you plug the podcast. Let me plug Beating the Book.
Yeah.
The Megapod. We did the Megapod yesterday. Dr. Bob was our guest. He'll be our guest here momentarily as well. And we, you know, sometimes the four of us, Jeff Parlay, who does shows here at VSiN, Todd Wishnev from Showtime docuseries Action, and our rotating guest, it was Bob. Sometimes we'll have two people. We do three best bets every show, each of us. I thought we had a score. We do not. And rarely, though, do we have three people agreeing on one play. So before last night's game, Jeff, Bob, and then Todd all had the same play. Todd decided not to do it just to be different. But they all had the over in this upcoming Minnesota Jets game this weekend.
Interesting.
Over 46. That was before we saw how bad the Patriots were last night. So they had all kinds of reasons. I'll let you listen to the podcast, again, Beating the Book feed, the Megapod, yesterday. But that was before we saw the Patriots play. That leads me to believe that they might be more right than ever now about the over in that Vikings-Jets game this weekend.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, look, you know, obviously, I've been high on the Vikings this year. I think that I will not sit here and say that is a good defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, every game I'm counting on that offense playing lights out and being better than, you know, scoring way more than whatever that defense is going to allow, because it's definitely not great. I'm with you there. And, yeah, I don't mind that play on the over this week, 44.5.
44.5,
right,
I should say, yeah.
Yeah, right here now at South Point. Yeah, I don't mind that play, and I think that's look, that's fair to bring up and something to watch out for the Vikings going forward is how bad is this defense? I mean, that's the question I've got. I know it's not good, but is it really bad? Because the other thing is they've had injuries too, right? They lost Booth, the corner, he's out. You're losing pieces on that defense as well. So they might be pretty bad.
Yeah, and as far as the Bills are concerned, Dolphins lose on Sunday to the Niners. The Bills take outright possession of the lead in the AL East, and then all would be quite well on the Western Front New York. AFC East? What did I say?
You said AL East.
Oh, yeah. AL East.
The other one that I think is kind of interesting, Gil, because this is Josh Allen, 14-1 MVP. No chance.
I
know his interception count is way high.
He just had a really soft middle, though, of the season. Like, really soft. And Mahomes hasn't done anything wrong.
I know.
Like, you would have to have, I mean, is there a path? Sure.
I think there's a path.
But it's a pretty remote path.
I think he's about as live as Jalen Hurts and Tua. So, like, that's, I just think the difference in the numbers between those guys is a little insane. Mahomes is by far the best, should be odds on favor in the MVP market right now.
You think he's as live as Jalen Hurts? I'm not so sure he is. I'm not so sure.
I think he's right up there. I think there's a path.
He's great. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, there's a path to Buffalo still getting the one seed. And if that happens, then, you know, I think he's absolutely live. And I think it's going to take the Eagles getting the one seed for Jalen Hurts to win it.
Does a dude win MVP when he's thrown that many horrific interceptions?
I don't know. My only pushback on it is I think this is who Josh Allen is, right? I think that people would be more accepting of it with Josh Allen than other quarterbacks.
Well, that's probably fair, but we're talking about the MVP. We're talking about MVP, man. So I don't know. It's a nice, juicy number. I understand why you bring it up, though. That's for sure. So Buffalo gets it done. By the way, Odell Beckham Jr. free agency tour began yesterday. Visit to the Giants, his former team. He will depart for Buffalo after that, speaking of the Bills, within perhaps his most pivotal meeting in Dallas. After that, they're viewed as the favorite. I haven't seen any betting markets for that yet, but Dallas, conventional wisdom say he's the favorite. But Buffalo's on that trip.
They had him up. They took him down like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When the whole Odell shopping teams came out.
Just like Deshaun, but maybe even more so. Do we know he's still going to be good?
No idea.
We'll come back. Dr. Bob with his play of the week. It's a numbers game at VSiN. Settle in. The Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets, from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. The other story that kind of crept up, do you see Sean Payton's interview on the Colin Cowherd show where former Saints head coach Sean Payton believes, take this for what it's worth, that the NFL draft will be undergoing a major change in the near future. And in his interview with Colin Cowherd, he said he predicted that the draft will eventually move to a lottery system where the worst team in the NFL wouldn't necessarily end up with a number one overall pick, which we are familiar with in different iterations, most notably in the NBA. I think of all these sort of things we've heard, I actually think that one's plausible, Kelly.
Yeah, I think it is too. I don't know about soon, right? It feels like one of those they'd fight over for about 4 years before we ever see it. But
yeah. But some of these teams, man, you wonder. So it could be coming to the NFL, at least according to Sean Payton anyway. Let's bring in Dr. Bob, everybody. He was kind enough to join us on the Megapod yesterday on the Beating the Book Megapod and spend an hour with us. And he still has the wherewithal and the fortitude to come on a second day here to be on a numbers game, as is always the case on Friday. It's Bob Stoll, everybody, from Dr. Bob Sports. How you doing, Bob?
Doing fine, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Can you, I want people to listen to the Megapod, but can you, just off the top, because I don't know what pick you're about to give us here, but can you give us that? You're not really, you know, you always qualify, and I think correctly so, about trends. But I thought that Pete Carroll one was interesting. Do you have that handy by any chance?
Yeah, it was just, you know, since he's been with Seattle, and he had this trend in college, although he never lost back-to-back games very often in college. But when the Seahawks have lost back-to-back games, they're 19-4 straight up and 19-3-1 against the spread the next game. And that includes when they've been really bad. Like last year, they were terrible, but they lose two in a row, and then they do well. This year, I think it's happened once, and then they went into Detroit and won straight up. So they're historically very good. Pete Carroll in his entire coaching career. Maybe I didn't go back to his days with the Jets back in the day, but since he's been in Seattle, 3-1 against the spread after consecutive losses, 19-4 straight up.
Which is the situation that the Seahawks find themselves in, 7-point favorites or 7.5, got to shop around on the road against the Rams. We don't usually do trends on this show, but I thought that was an interesting one.
No, I mean, it's not something I base a bet on, but I certainly would like take pause if I'm thinking about going against Seattle off the consecutive losses, because he's just had that trend as a coach for a long time, and he's a good motivator, so there's sort of something to it, I think.
Yeah. But, yeah, and there's some intuitive sense to that. All right, what's your play of the week, Bob? What do you got for us?
Well, we talked about this yesterday on the Mega Pod. I like the over in the Minnesota Jets game. I think that's it's sitting there at 44.5. It hasn't really moved that much since I released it at 44.5 early in the week. And as I asked you this question yesterday, I'm like, who do you think leads the NFL of quarterbacks in success rate the last 2 years, minimum of 4 games played? And the answer was Mike White.
Yeah,
he's got a higher success rate than Patrick Mahomes. In the last 2 seasons, he's played in 5 games. And like I said, he plays within the system. And that is all you need when you have a team like the Jets with a good defense. You don't need a quarterback throwing the ball down the field, taking chances. You just need to play within the system, get the ball. If there's nothing open down the field, then check it down, get it to your running backs. And that kind of stuff will probably, has served him well. He's a professional quarterback and understands the offense. And, compared to his 54.2% success rate, Zach Wilson has a 39.3% career success rate. So there's a big difference there. I like the fact that, you got a quarterback that's willing to take the check down, because in this case, it should work. I mean, the Jets running backs get targeted a lot. They'll get targeted more with Mike White at quarterback. And the Vikings are 30th in the league in yards per target allowed to running backs. So I think it's a good matchup for the Jets here. So I think they'll be able to score. Garrett Wilson should do well in the slot. Elijah Moore has had success in the slot recently. And the Vikings nickelback, Shannon Sullivan's third to last in the NFL among qualifying nickelbacks in yards per route allowed in the slot. So I think they'll have those quick slants. I think they'll have the running backs open. So I think the Jets offense will do well. Vikings defense obviously has struggled. And I think that the Vikings offense will do enough here against a good Jets defense. Since they've got T.J. Hockenson in a trade, to play tight end. Not only has Hockenson done well as a tight end, taking those intermediate routes, but it's allowed Justin Jefferson more room on the outside, because the defense has to pay more attention to Hockenson. And since Hockenson's been there, Jefferson leads the NFL with 6 catches from balls with at least 20 air yards. So I mean, they've been using him more often, and he's done it. He's been best wide receiver in the league all year, but he's done even better as a receiver on the deep passes since Hockenson's arrived. So I think it's a good situation for both offenses, and I predict the model has 49.4 total points, and the total's sitting there at 44.5. So I like the over in the Jets-Minnesota game.
I did a little transitive property earlier on the show where I'm like, that New England performance last night and how bad their offense was, albeit against the Bills, but if you go back to Thanksgiving and you saw how they were able to perform against the Minnesota defense, that lends to your over even more, doesn't it? Certainly doesn't hurt the thought about your over.
Yeah, I kind of thought of that about that, and I looked this morning and thought, I wonder if that line inched up to 45, just based on that, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It was still sitting there at 44.5. I thought, okay. That is what it is. I think exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, New England was able to march the ball up and down the field, and they haven't really done that against that many teams this year. I think the Jets are better off with Mike White at quarterback, and we'll see. Hopefully we'll have a lot of points in a fun game.
Bob, let's let you have a moment to take a bow here. Could you tell us what your season win totals in college football were this year and what they were on this show?
Overall, they were 8-3 this year, which, relatively sucks compared to my 11-0 last year. But the ones I gave out on the show at the beginning of the year were my 7 favorites, and those went 5-2. And the last year, the ones I gave on the show were 6-0. So, 5-2 on the season win totals here on the VSiN network. And even with the loss last week on UAB, my season record is now 16-11-1. So I'm happy to be profitable this year.
I said this to you yesterday on the Megapod, but I'll say it again, which is, of all the things you do, that has become your bread and butter over the years.
It certainly has. I mean, it's funny, even the ones I'm passing, I remember last year I passed a bunch because I was like, oh, I can't have 25 plays on season win totals. That's ridiculous. And they went 26, I guess. They went 21-4-1. I'm like, huh. I chose the 11 that went 11-0, but I could have done even more damage last year. This year it was just the 11 that qualified into the normal parameters, and now I'm 55-23 on those season win totals since I've been released into the clients, and I won before that.
So. 55-23. I'm told that's good, Bob. Let me ask you that's just about good. the championship week in college football. There's 11 championship games. There's also a Maction makeup game. You don't like anything in any of these games necessarily?
Yeah, you know, I thought I like Troy, and it's contingent on Grayson McCall not trying to play with his foot injury for Coastal Carolina. Now, if Grayson McCall were, I mean, probably the most valuable player in all of college football. Before he got there, Coastal Carolina's passing game was about 1.5 yards per pass play, worse than average. Since he's been the quarterback, he's missed 5 games now. He missed 2 last year, 2 this year, maybe 1 the year before. So in 3 seasons, he's missed 5 games. And in those 5 games, they've also been the quarterbacks taking his place. They've been 1.5 yards per pass play, worse than an average quarterback. He is much, much better than that. I mean, he's an All-American. And he's thrown, what, 4? Never thrown more than 3 interceptions in a season in 3 full seasons. I mean, he's ridiculously good. And the drop-off between Grayson McCall and his backups has been about 10 points per game. That is not in the line here. In fact, I would make Troy – I'd favor Troy by 9 if McCall were 100%. Troy's been underrated all team.
Wow.
I've been on them, you know, multiple times. And Troy was one of my over bets on season win totals. So I've been on the Troy bandwagon all season. So, you know, the line's sitting there at 8.5 now. It went up to 10 because everybody thought he was going to be out again, and I liked it too, and I said, great, I'll bet Troy. But now it's come back down to 8 or 8.5 because there's rumors that he may try to play. I still favor Troy by 9 if he's 100%, but I wouldn't bet the game if he's going to try to play because he could just sit back there, take a shotgun snap, and he's just pinpoint accurate, and that could be trouble. But Troy's defense is so, so good. And if McCall does not play, this is a blowout. I took James Madison last week, and they beat Coastal Carolina 47-7. And James Madison's defense and Troy's defense are both very, very good. I think it's another case of if the backups are in, Troy's defense is going to dominate. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think he's going to play.
That's awesome.
But I would wait for confirmation and then bet Troy up to minus 11 if he's not playing.
Up to minus 11. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, if McCall's out.
And I will, you know, just again, for new bettors, for those who are new to the show, but when Bob says he's the most valuable player in college football, there's inevitably going to be some people listening. Bob is like, what is he talking about? He's not going to win the Heisman Trophy. Bob is referring to the most valuable player in college football as it pertains to the point spread. As it pertains to the point
right.
spread, which
and
is
his,
what
the,
we do here.
The difference between his backups and him.
Yes. Bob, always fascinating. We appreciate it. Thanks for the double duty this week, my friend.
All right, buddy.
My man. Dr. Bob Stoll at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. We'll come back. World Cup with Paul Carr, Senior Director of Content for True Media Sports and the Expected Value Podcast, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Cyber Monday deal has been extended. Sign up today to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you'll get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. The VSiN store, a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, though. It's an extended Cyber Monday offer. It won't last long, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. So while we were talking to Dr. Bob and then off air, we have some goals that have been scored. One, first of all, in the Ghana-Uruguay game, while Dr. Bob was talking, Kelly, Ghana had a penalty kick. And I am no soccer genius, but that seemed like one of the worst efforts on a penalty kick I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't see it. I had ESPN on over here. What happened? Did he miss the net completely?
No. Goalkeeper had no problem sort of sending it back. And then Uruguay comes back and scores to take a 1-0 lead, which, again, if that holds, Uruguay will advance along with Portugal, but South Korea tied up Portugal. So it's 1-1 in that one. So stay tuned. But right now, as it stands, it would be Portugal and Uruguay through. Let's bring in Paul Carr, who we talk about from both the Expected Value podcast, from True Media Sports, and is also doing a gambling, a World Cup podcast throughout the World Cup at The Ringer, correct, as well? We should probably promote that.
Yeah, so if you want the long-form version of the conversations you and I have, you can check that out and get closer to an hour instead of our 5-10 minutes.
By the way, this Uruguay scores again. Is that what just happened? Yes.
Oh,
2-0.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, wow. Paul. Ghana missing a penalty kick and Uruguay scoring sounds familiar.
Last time it happened, Gil, I was there.
I
was at the game in the stands in 2010 in South Africa for that Uruguay-Ghana game. Maybe the best sporting event I've been to in person. The passion was unbelievable. The Suarez handball, when he punched it off the line at the very end, was at the opposite end of the stadium from where I was. We had no idea what happened. Like, you just couldn't tell. It's like, what's going on? You see the ref flash a red card, and then the wave of noise so slowly moved across the stadium as everyone realizes what's going on. And because 95% of the stadium was cheering for Ghana. And yeah, then he missed the penalty, and Uruguay won on penalties, and it was a very sad stadium.
Suarez was involved in the first goal here too as well?
Yeah, he had a shot, got saved on the rebound, and it looks like I think he might have gotten an assist here on the second one.
2-0, Uruguay.
Yeah.
Looking good.
They're looking good.
Okay, because the knockout stage begins tomorrow, we'll get your thoughts once again on USA-Netherlands. We'll get your thoughts on the rest of the games today. But let's revisit, if we could, first of all, odds to win the entire World Cup, and we'll look at Golden Boot thoughts as well. But to win it all, Brazil remains the short shot. No surprise there, plus 260. France down to 5-1. Everybody incrementally down. It makes sense because we've advanced to this stage. Spain 7-1, Argentina 8-1, England 9-1. Everybody else, including Portugal playing now, double digits. Germany, by the way, don't bet on them. Please don't bet on them. They are not available.
I don't think my Germany title ticket's going to cash, Gil.
Yes, I don't think that. By the way, could I ask you about that yesterday? Because that was dramatic also.
That's nuts.
Where Japan was down 1-0, and then they tied it, and then they went ahead on, from our American sensibilities, a ball that looked to be clear of the goal line. Yeah. But then as it was explained to me, it's really the circumference of the soccer
Correct.
Ball.
Right. Yeah, so the part of the ball that touches the ground was clearly all in the green outside the white line. But yeah, it's a sphere, and that other part of the ball, we also didn't get a great camera angle, at least initially. That other part of the ball was still over the line, apparently. So yeah, it's kind of an optical illusion almost, but I think it was the right call.
All right, so back to the World Cup futures then. Who are you liking right now?
I mean, the one thing that jumps at me a little bit is Argentina is about plus 500 right now. And before the tournament, they were in the plus 500, plus 600 range. So nothing's changed all that much. And I think they got a really easy quadrant of the draw. I mean, they're playing Australia, who we'll talk about, but they're in the knockout stage, but they're not good. Argentina should roll in that one. And then they get either the Netherlands or the U.S., which, look, it's the World Cup quarterfinals. Nobody is easy, but that's about as nice as you can shape up for your quarter of the draw. The big problem is probably that Brazil is going to be in the bottom half of that draw. So you'd have to play Brazil before the final. But, I mean, it's the World Cup semifinals. What do you expect?
Yeah, it is. So, by the way, just let me get sort of more clarity on these odds. Shop around. Brazil plus 240. Argentina plus 450 we're showing here.
Yeah, it's shop a little around. Slimmer there.
Shop around. Because you
can definitely see some 500s out there this
morning. Yeah, okay. And then let's get to your picks. First of all, later today, we have a couple more games. These will be in Group G to get the group correct. You have a play on the Serbia-Switzerland game.
I'm going under in this one, under 2.5 at minus 115. I mean, this is kind of a cliche for a Switzerland team, but they just do what they have to do. It's like the bad cliche is that they're like clockwork and they just get things done. You know, they will grind this out. It's like a 1-0. They basically just need a draw to go through, assuming the other game, Cameroon, doesn't beat Brazil. So they just need a draw or one to win. That's what they do. It's what they did in qualifying, where they just grinded out a couple draws with Italy, which was enough to get them through ahead of Italy. And Serbia's got some weapons, but they just haven't been clicking. A lot of talented players not working all that well together in this tournament. So I think Switzerland will grind this out. At the very least, you know, keep it close. Under 2.5, -115. I played a little bit worse.
Yeah, and that group is, comes into today with the same exact standing, the same exact table, if you will, as this group that's playing right now, where one team has six, Brazil and, versus Portugal. In this case, Switzerland is the team with three. They're in the driver's seat, so they could ostensibly play for a draw, and they would get through.
Probably.
Yep. Yeah, barring an upset in the other one. Okay, and then tomorrow, USA and Netherlands. I have to tell you, I was out to dinner with my brother and our buddy Tyrone last night. Tyrone's a big soccer guy, and he totally went in. He's like, oh, the Netherlands are going to kill him. It's going to be like 5-1. And I said, well, you know, the soccer people I know kind of think we have a puncher's chance here. You're of that thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Netherlands haven't been that impressive. I mean, they have 5 goals, but only about 2.5 expected goals. You know, they just converted a lot of shots. They only had 2 goals the entire, or 2 shots rather, the entire game against Ecuador in the second group game. And I mean, Ecuador is a good defensive team, but not that much better than the U.S. defensively. If the U.S. is clicking like they are now, Netherlands, here's another way of saying it. Netherlands is not as good as England, and the U.S. outplayed England. So, I mean, there's obviously a ton of different factors, but I kind of like the way the U.S. has approached things, just game by game, really good tactics and strategy. I just don't think the Dutch, they're not the high-flying Dutch teams we've seen over the past 10, 20 years. So I think the U.S. has a real shot. I'm cautiously optimistic. And I've played the U.S. on the double chance at -125. So the winner of the draw in 90 minutes at -125.
So explain that again to the soccer novice. Double chance means what again?
Double chance is win or draw. It's basically plus half a goal. You know, some
win
places,
or draw.
Some books you can actually bet at plus half a goal. Some places call it a double chance. Sometimes you have both options. But yeah, win or draw in the 90 minutes. So this is not counting extra time. This is not counting penalties.
Right.
We say this all the time, but always want to reiterate it because, again, everyone's made this mistake betting soccer. When you get to the knockout stage, all your bets, sides, props, whatever, are usually for 90 minutes plus stoppage time only. So the extra time penalties don't count.
So that's the clarification we need to make. It's 90 minutes plus the added or stoppage time, not the extra time that it would require. Big difference.
If you want to bet team to advance, if you want to bet the U.S. to get to the next round, it's usually called to advance or to qualify in your books. And that's the U.S. is like +180, +190 there, which I don't think is terrible. I mean, when you have teams that aren't, when there's no giant gap between two teams and you can get anything close to +200 or a lot better, I don't think that's a terrible bet.
Back to your Argentina thoughts on Sunday. They're taking on Australia. You like Argentina? You're giving the goal in the half.
I mean, I just don't see any way Argentina doesn't just blow them out. I mean, I think there's a general impression that Argentina is struggling a bit because they lost to Saudi Arabia. They kind of scraped by Mexico. But all the underlying numbers suggest Argentina is fine. I mean, they're third in the tournament in expected goals. They've given up the second or third fewest expected goals. Their defense has been good. Part of that's because they have the ball most of the time. And they have Lionel Messi, who can create something out of nothing like he did against Mexico. They've got several other attackers who can do similar sorts of things. Look, they won 2 games. They scored in every game, but I'm not quite sure how they got through it all. My impressions of them, I thought they were one of the least good teams in the tournament, we'll say now, and I don't think that's really changed. They just kind of scraped through. They soccered their way through. They didn't have a ton of chances, had like 0.6 expected goals per game. I don't see how Argentina doesn't win this one easily. I laid the goal in half at -165.
All right, so Serbia, Switzerland under 2.5 today. USA double chance tomorrow. That's stoppage time, not extra time. And then Argentina given the goal and a half on Sunday against Australia. Shop around for the price. 30 seconds. Golden boot thoughts. Go.
I mean, Messi and Mbappe are 1 and 2. You're kind of betting on who do you think can make a run and get the most games in. I don't mind either play, Mbappe at 300, Messi at +700. They're both going to take penalties and both have a real chance to make a deep run.
Okay, there it is. He likes they're short shots, but he likes them the best.
Yeah,
Messi or Mbappe in the World Cup, revisiting the Golden Boot. Remember, there's a Golden Boot. There's top goal scorer. Look for the wording on all that stuff too. Everything's complicated here.
Golden glove, golden ball, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of stuff. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I won't text you during it, I promise.
I will. It'll be fun. Get to the knockout stage.
Paul Carr, at Paul Carr, the Ringer gambling podcast on the World Cup. Check it out if you want the long form. Kelly and I with our NFL bets on the other side. Next.
Hi. A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And then once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. How about that? Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Let me just read a couple here. This is from Robert S. Lane. Okay, after hearing Dr. Bob's record, I'll admit he's earned his moniker, and I'll stop calling him Mr. Bob. That's very nice. And then Jason, Sparty in Kentucky, says, didn't Nigel give out the over in the Sweden game? Confused in Kentucky. First of all, are you talking about Switzerland? That's the first problem. It's not the Sweden game.
I don't know if he gave out a Sweden bet.
I don't know. If he had a Sweden bet, that's on him.
He might be all over it. I don't know.
He could be.
Is the World Cup second tier going on?
Is there a farm league to this World Cup? I think you mean Switzerland, and he might have, and they're just two different people with two different handicaps, Paul and Nigel. Speaking of which, that brings us to our pro tip of the hour. And I think every time, you said it best off air, Kelly, every time we talk about soccer, we should just revisit this pro tip, which is, if you're just getting into soccer betting, make sure you know exactly what you're betting. For example, double chance, which Paul was talking about, which is either win or draw in the 90 minutes plus stoppage time, to win, to advance, etc. And I even said something at the end of the segment. We sort of laughed about it, right? Golden ball, golden glove, golden boot. So with golden boot, and I actually asked Paul to clarify this because I said, hey, be aware if you're betting a golden boot market or most goals market. And people are like, wait, isn't that the same thing? And so Paul clarifies it better than I could when he says, the golden boot, FIFA's golden boot winner. That's who they give the golden boot their award to, which is decided by tiebreakers. Could be, right? Most assists, then fewest minutes if multiple players are tied.
Tied for the most goals.
If they have the same amount of goals, then it goes to the tiebreakers, most assists, fewest minutes. One tiebreaker, two tiebreakers. If your market says most goals scored, and if there's a tie, well, then sportsbooks just treat it like they would other kind of multi-option markets where they would be just the most goals, and then the books would split the odds, you know, dead heat them. So that would probably take place in that case.
And dead heat
is a whole nother conversation.
Right. You heard Paul bring up plus 180 for the USA to advance tomorrow. So when you see USA celebrate, when you see USA celebrating tomorrow after that game.
See what you did there.
And you're like, well, I got a plus 340. That's a way better price than Paul got. No, that's just in the 90-minute regulation, okay? If it goes into extra time or penalty kicks, and maybe that's where they're celebrating after winning in penalty kicks, you didn't win your bet, okay? You only won if you put that two advance bet in at plus 180. So be very, very careful. I know you might jump at like, oh, wow, this number's amazing. Let me jump on that. Just know what you're betting.
Correct. And the extra time, and this is what I was trying to clarify, the extra time is not the added or stoppage time. The added or stoppage time is when the official looks at his or her clock, watch rather, and says to themselves, let's add, 9 minutes. That's still part of the 90 minutes.
Yes.
Even though it's added or stoppage time, 9 minutes. It's the extra time after that, once they blow the first whistle, that would be qualifying as extra time. I hope that makes sense. That's your VSiN pro tip of the hour. That was one of our more involved ones, but I think it's worthwhile for those who are new to this. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour at VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Mr. Bidlin has some NBA picks today. What do you got?
Yeah, I do. First, I'm going to journalism, though. I'm going to journalism, and I think I'm going to journalism better than I've seen on Twitter this morning, and this stuff is wild. You might have seen a video flying across Twitter this morning of Drew Brees appearing to be struck by lightning, filming something with a film crew. I'm not going to comment on – all I can tell you is what I know. And what I know from Saints reporters that follow the team, they have talked to Drew Brees. He is fine. He was not struck by lightning. I'm not going to go off on what I think happened with all of this. But all I can tell you right now is Drew Brees is absolutely okay, no matter what you saw or heard on Twitter this morning or social media. Did not get struck by lightning. So that is a you're probably going to hear a lot more about this later today. I think it was probably a really irresponsible act by someone there, but Drew Brees is okay no matter what you have heard today.
This is, and just for those who are listening are like, why haven't they mentioned anything about this? We were very aware of it, and we made a decision not to say anything until there was some clarification on it, and this kind of corroborates what our hunch was on it. Okay. Now to the NBA. And by the way, we do hope that Drew Brees is fine and okay.
Yeah, sure. And everybody else involved. Yeah. We don't really know exactly what happened yet. So you don't really want to comment further than that. But yeah, we hope everybody's okay. NBA. Okay, I added one future last night. JVT and I discussed this a little bit on Hardwood Handicappers. As far as futures, under 41.5 wins on the Jazz, you know that's one that you've heard Drew Dinsick and I talk about just if this Jazz team continues. It started out like crazy. I've been kind of regularly betting against them, and that's worked out well recently here. I'm trying to find I don't want this number to dip any more on the win total before I get involved. I was kind of waiting to see if it was going to get any more inflated, but under 41.5 is where I decided to jump in here this morning. Played that, and then two bets for me tonight. Did lay the 7 with the Pelicans going into San Antonio. These two teams just complete opposite ends of the spectrum right now. You're talking about one of the hottest teams in the NBA and in the month of November with the New Orleans Pelicans, one of the top net ratings in the league, and the Spurs. They're the only team tanking right, Gil. Only team tanking right. This team cannot buy a win. They're not even getting close to covering. So this is kind of a...
Oh, I had the Spurs the other night, and they were catching 3 against OKC, and they were winning all
without
game.
Without SGA, yeah.
Crushing all game. And then you went away for 10 minutes. You look back, you're like, wait, what just happened? OKC running away with a victory.
Yeah, they got no Pirtle in the lineup. They're even missing guys that are hurt in their lineup. Yeah. And then the one I do really like tonight is the Nets. I'm playing the Nets at home. This number's come down a little bit. I think you can get a money line about -120, -125. No Ben Simmons for them tonight. This is the Toronto Raptors coming off a long road trip. They've struggled on the road this year, 3-8 straight up. They are back in Toronto tomorrow, so they've got that trek in front of them tonight to look forward to. And in November, Brooklyn, second best net rating, +6.3. I do like that bet with the Brooklyn Nets at home tonight against the Raptors.
All right, some NFL. We have some bets in pocket. First of all, let me just ask you about Deshaun and the Cleveland Browns. Did you see the Deshaun Watson press conference yesterday? Did you get
it? Yeah, a little bit of it.
His legal team and his political team, Kelly, would not allow him to answer questions about anything but football. His political team.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Is he running for city council? What is that guy doing?
I'm wondering how long that's going to continue, because you can't for the whole season not address it.
You can't do that.
But yes, I did catch the political team thing too, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah. You're staying as far away from this game as possible?
I don't know. I've been hinting at teaser plays all week. I haven't bet any. I'll just run through mine, I guess, real quick. I haven't bet any teasers yet. I have a feeling before Sunday, yes, that Browns side will end up in a teaser for me. It has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson, though, and everything to do with the running backs that the Cleveland Browns have and how absolutely atrocious the Texans' rush defense is. I am on the Vikings. I laid the 3 earlier in the week. Think they'll take care of business at home against the Jets. Mike White, I think you're great. I think you're better than Zach Wilson. Prove it to me. You can do it again and beat the Vikings at home.
Yeah, I made 3. Vikings -3 was one of them as well. I won't add to it. But, and after last night, I don't like it as much. But, yes, Vikings -3 was if you listen to Guessing Lines, you know I was incredulous about that line. I got the Commodores. I got the Commodes -2 at the Giants. The Megapod crew did not like that play. Both Todd and Parlay like the Giants in that game. I went a litany of stats as why the Giants are much more smoke and mirrors than Washington, but they still didn't respect it.
The way I've talked about that game this week with people is, do I feel like that line is right? No. Do I have any interest in betting the Giants at home against Washington? Not at all.
No. And again, if Washington wins that, oh boy, are they going to the playoffs, because they have a bye and then they get the Giants at home after that. They would be set up nicely anyway. And then the other one is I have Seattle -7. You heard Dr. Bob talking about his trend even before I knew about that. The Rams appear to be without. They are definitely without Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp. They appear to be without Matthew Stafford as well. Yeah. And if that's Bryce Perkins, give me the Seahawks to raid the ship. The Seahawks had no business losing last week to the Raiders. The number of things, and we went through it. Jeff Parlay did a great job of pointing them out on the Megapod yesterday, on the Beating the Book Megapod. The number of things the Raiders overcame in that game to win is just one of the most incredible upsets in terms of getting the outcome they wanted this year, certainly in the National Football League, maybe in recent memory. So I got the Seahawks as well. Those are my three that I've bet so far. Right Angle Sports joins us. Michael Craig specifically. College basketball release of the week. We'll make the global lines move on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.